CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. We're here every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Please join us. We do appreciate our listeners. Our guest today is Jean Shinoda Bolin, and I'm going to go right back to CJ and Jean so they can finish their conversation today. It's been a great conversation so far. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to CJ's website at fireitupwithcj.com to get more information on our guest and our next guest. She puts everything on our website, so if you missed anything, you can always go to fireitupwithcj.com to get anything you missed.
Thank you, Cassandra. What a great introduction. Welcome back, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and we are talking about the women's movement. What has happened to it? You know, from the 60s to 80s, there are women who are out there pushing and achieving so much. And you look today, and I think that there's a lot more awareness of issues about women, but I don't know if we've made as much progress in the past. Guilt is overreigning on me. So we have. And I think honestly we can blame Congress, we can blame ineffective leadership, but I think as women we have personal accountability as well in terms of what can we, why haven't we, what can we do differently. So we welcome back Jean Shinoda Bolin and wanted to get her take on everything. So welcome back, Jean.
Good to be with you. Good to be back.
So what's going on? Have we shut down as women? What when you compare, you know, the women of during the time when the women's movement was really hot, does it seem dead to you now? I mean, what's your perspective on it?
No. It's not dead at all. It's moving into the world. Like, for those of you who responded to 7 Billion Rising, Eve Ensler's Valentine's Day invitation to dance in the street to protest violence against women and girls, it happened all over the world. It certainly happened in my part of the United States. And there's a call that women are responding to. I mean, one of the things about when women are successful, as we were in so many areas of the women's movement, the successes are just taken for granted. Like, would you know that as far back as 1972, which wasn't very long ago, women were barred from running marathon races.
Wow.
And there were protests, and women made the point about, no, this was not unwomanly, and it wouldn't involve infertility at all, that women can run. And now, of course we run, just as of course we vote. So that one of the things that happens when women protest something unfair that is adopted by the world is it becomes, oh, haven't we always done whatever it is? And this is a mark of real success. Now, what we're seeing right now is the efforts to disempower women and take choice away. And the place that they're hitting us the hardest is reproductive rights.
Mm-hmm.
That if we can't choose whether we will have a child or not, or whether we will can abort a rape baby or not, we become totally helpless in a major part of our lives. And we would go back to, and I think in parts of the world, very definitely, women are dying in childbirth and dying of antiseptic abortions and have no access to the pills that give them a choice. So, yeah, we have to keep it up. Now, I have written a book called Moving Towards a Million Circle about energizing the global women's movement through one of the things that I'm a major advocate for, which is a UN Fifth World Conference on Women. Not just to have a conference, even though it might have 100,000 women and from all over the world and be linked by cell phone and technology to women everywhere through what we currently have as technology. The reason for it is realizing that that's what leads to tipping point and critical mass, after which whatever it was that we fought for becomes a new norm, and we think, haven't we always been like that?
Okay, got it. So that's part of what you're saying. Hey, you know what? we need that momentum at this point. And so even though it's not the conference itself, it's the idea of women gathering together and voicing their issues en masse. And
it also is joining them together in small circles, because the key unit that changed us in the 60s and 70s was called the Consciousness Raising Group. And it was below the radar. It appeared to be just women talking. And what I've added through the book called The Man Circle, Changing Ourselves and the World, which brought me to the UN and made me an advocate, as I am, for this Women's World Conference, is the notion of the power of the small women's circle with a spiritual center. Now, the spiritual center is related to Artemis, Athena, and Hestia, because these were the three, so in ancient Greek mythology, they were called the virgin goddesses, mm-hmm. meaning that they were one unto themselves. They had a sovereignty in themselves, meaning they didn't belong to the gods. They weren't, they're the only mm-hmm. goddesses in Greek mythology that weren't subdued or raped or, and they had this one unto herself quality, which women who embody these archetypes also have in themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, Hestia, you probably never heard, most people haven't heard of her, unless they've been reading Goddesses in Every Woman and Goddesses in Older Women, because I actually have her in both of those books, mm-hmm. because she was considered to be present in the fire itself at the center of a round hearth. And it was her fire that made a house a home or sacred, and it was her fire that made a building a temple. So if women all over the world could recognize what is sacred in themselves, gather in a circle around the idea of Hestia, that there is a fire in us that is sacred, that Hestia's fire, you know, if you've never been a camper and you think about a fire in the middle of where there's no electricity, it provides light, it provides warmth, it centers the group that you're with, and that's where you cook your food over. Mm-hmm. And that is the image that began 5,000 years ago in Greece, as it was Hestia's fire that made a sacred place sacred. Mm-hmm. So if women, for whom this form is natural, form circles that will support them to be authentically true to themselves, to have the courage and the back of a woman who risks speaking truth to power and can come home to her circle knowing that they care about what is going on with her, they know what's going on with her, they'll pray for her, they'll support her, they'll give her advice, and everybody is an equal. Mm. I mean, and it doesn't cost anything, and it can last for the rest of your life, and it can support you through all the stages of your life. So I'm out here strongly thinking that every activist, every woman should be an activist on her own behalf. But every activist, which is every woman, should also have a sacred circle of deep friends that will support her life.
But do you think I have a bunch of groups of, you know, as I was reading your book on the circles, and I thought, you know, I actually, they're not all circles. Some of them are just triangles or, you know, I mean, they don't all form circles when I have like eight people that I have, but I have a book club. I actually have a meditation circle. I have a group of friends that we do Chinese face reading. I have a bunch of women that we gather together. We don't necessarily have an activist bent, but we're there with the intention of supporting each other on our path. Do you think that the circle needs to have an activism kind of feeling, or is it just about supporting each other on a path? Does it have to have a direction to it?
I think the basic thing is supporting each woman to lead the life she was meant to lead, which is, I mean, this also, it brings together an activist energy within a Jungian notion of individuation. Mm. Or just Campbell's idea of we each have a personal myth to live. Mm. And you take the archetypes, to get back to like Artemis on the archetypes, is that they, because they are deep patterns in us, with or without naming them, when we live from the archetypal pattern that is most natural to us, then we are on our way to living our personal myth. I have been reviewing recently that classic called Free to Be You and Me, and that children's book with the idea to be free to be the woman you were meant to be, free to be the man you were meant to be. Patriarchy doesn't allow men or women a range of acceptance to be who they are. Mm. And so if you're going to be an activist on your own behalf, it's the right to be who you are. Mm. I love what the gays are doing now because they really have made a point in a very short time that they have the right to love who they love, and they have the right to marry who they want to marry. And lo and behold, the culture is moving in that direction. So 10 years from now, we may say, well, haven't gays always married? Well,
yeah.
No, they used to be burnt. You know?
That's true. Oh, God, I love having you on, Jean Shinoda Bolin, and I love the idea of thinking about the circle as just a supportive circle for us to explore and be free to be who we really are. I was thinking of activism like, you know, going out and fighting for women's rights. That could be it, but I see it as now I understand your point a little bit better, where it's about being free to be truly who you are. So, wonderful. Thank you so much, Jean, for being here. You can find more information about Jean at jeanbolen.com. In the next segment, we're going to be talking about money and the psychology of money. Thank you so much for being here, Jean.
You're welcome. And I hope people will read Goddesses in Every Woman and Gods in Every Man and Goddesses in Older Women.
Yes, they're beautiful classics, and they still register just as strongly. I can attest to that.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much.